By 2003, we started talking about the Winter Olympics. Already in the province, there's like a lot of ski resort development, ski resort proposals, ski resort expansions. By 2000, yeah, by I think 1999, some Tsleil-Waututh elders in the Chase area wrote a letter opposing the ski resort proposal that was going to take place on what they at that time were calling reserve land, their old reserve land, and that was on the Sun Peaks expansion. And that's where they hunt, and that's where they fish, and that's where they berry pick. It's like right up in the Alpine Mountains, and that really impacts the water, because out here in BC, our water source, our water is from the mountains. You know, you do something stupid, like build a ski resort right in the Alpine, like there goes your water. That's the water, the province's water right there. You know, it goes into all the rivers, and you know, we don't get our water underground. We get our water from those Alpine Mountains. When your elders tell you to do something, you just do it. Some people stood up against the ski resort proposal, the expansion proposal, and the Vancouver Native Youth Movement showed them a lot of support. Basically, the second or the third NYM chapter was born, and that was the Tsleil-Waututh NYM chapter. And they're still around, they're still going pretty strong, and it's pretty cool because the Native Youth Movement started off as a traditional movement. It was a movement to revive the traditions, and it was youth talking about how gangs are impacting them, because this came from Winnipeg, and you know, the gang violence is at a crisis point. You know, when your survival depends on you joining a gang, like, that is, you know, terrifying. It's just brutal. So that was they're really reaching out to the youth and trying to support their people by making ceremonies accessible, trying to get the word out in to the rest of Canada about what is going on in Winnipeg. And it is scary, you know. Winnipeg's a scary place for natives, or, you know, for anyone. And then the Vancouver, we're like, no, we want to build our political strength. This is what we want to do. We want to build our political strength. And we've really done it here. A lot of funding dollars have gotten poured into the city. There's something called, I can't remember what it's called, but it's called UMAYC, and it's Aboriginal youth funding that's in major cities in Canada. And Vancouver's the only place where native youth vote for who they have on their board. But I kind of, in a way, see things like UMAYC, all this funding available, as I think it's kind of people who were involved in the movement aren't now. They're just wanting funding dollars. Like, why be radical? Why, you know, you could just run your own little program. And it's cool, you know, like native programs are cool. But then things like the 2010 funding come in where you're like, you're getting offered money or something to support the Winter Olympics, but the Winter Olympics are supporting ski resort expansions on native land or making people, native people, homeless in the downtown east side. So, you know, what happens is you got to decide, do you want that money or not? You know, and a lot of people, they just, they don't think very deep. They don't think about the impact they're having. They don't think of how money really is the root of all evil. They don't think about that at all. But with the Tsleil-Waututh NYM, they've taken NYM to a new level, and they've taken resistance out here to a new level in that they're looking beyond the cities, they're looking beyond the reserves, which are basically, reserves have been set up to be death camps. You go to reserves, they're usually very sad places. And they're looking beyond that, and they're looking to being out on the land, living traditionally, because out here in the West, we have something a lot of people don't have, a lot of natives do not have anymore, and that's clean land and water. We can live on our land, and it's really cool. Like, I really have a lot of respect for the Tsleil-Waututh NYM. Like, it's pretty damn cool. Their whole movement is pretty impressive. So yeah, the 2010 campaign, the Winter Olympics is, there's like a lot of ski resort proposals, a lot of ski resort expansions all over like the interior BC. I think even down to the Kootenays, there's a lot of resistance. I know the Tsleil-Waututh have resisted, the Okanagan have resisted, the Puyallup have resisted, and my people, the Tsleil-Waututh, are resisting a proposal. In the city, there's a lot of homelessness, a lot of gentrification. It's rough. You know, the downtown east side is it can be a really rough place. Like, it's pretty brutal. The last thing you need to do to be worrying about down there is housing. If you got a place, you know, even if it's really crappy, at least you got a place. But now a lot of people don't even have a place. It's sad. It's really brutal, and it's no fair. It's terrible. So in 2000, the Tsleil-Waututh NYM, or Tsleil-Waututh people, and then also later the Tsleil-Waututh NYM, began opposing the ski resort expansion up there. I guess a few months ago, I asked someone from that territory, because I know there was a lot of resistance against the ski resort expansion, but then there was a lot of development going on anyway. I found out that they have been successful in protecting two of the three mountains that there was that they proposed to have wanted to develop. I think that's like a really good, that's like really positive. That's so good, you know, and there was like, I don't know, like around 50 arrests and convictions. Like a lot of people were criminalized for just trying to protect their land. A lot of elders and a lot of youth. It was pretty brutal, you know, like there's footage out there floating around of little grandmothers getting arrested. It's terrible. Like what kind of world do we live in when people are arresting, you know, old ladies that want a berry pick? It's so stupid and so terrible. The Shudaka has been up since 2000. That's a Stutlium struggle. I forgot to mention that, the other nation where there's opposition against ski resort development. That's the Melvin Creek, or Cayouche, I think it's a Melvin Creek Ski Resort or Cayouche Creek Ski Resort, something like that. But anyway, the Shudaka, or Shudaka, how do you say it, is a very sacred area. It's called Home of the Winter Spirit, and it's very sacred land. It's the cleanest water in BC, the Melvin Creek. That area is so clean, it's so beautiful. You can see the, when you go to this camp that's been up since 2000, you can see like clear cuts and everything. You can see the impact of development on the land. There's a road that's there now, a paved road, and I think, I don't know, maybe 1990 they opposed the paving of this road because they knew it was bad news. So the Melvin Creek, Duffy Lake. So that was paved and they opposed that, but it was paved anyway. And now the Sea to Sky from Vancouver to probably Pemberton or Whistler, they want to expand the Sea to Sky Highway all the way to Lillooet. So that goes through Mount Currie, past Shudaka to Lillooet. Yeah, I'm pretty damn sure there's going to be some Stutliums opposing that. So good luck trying to expand that road. But anyway, there's a camp that's been up there. It's so amazing. It's like a beautiful place. It's sacred. It's, to me, that's like the strongest resistance against ski resort development is Shudaka. It's so amazing and it's so beautiful and it's there for anyone to visit. So it's between Lillooet and Mount Currie. You can go from Vancouver down the Sea to Sky, go to Mount Currie, and then go down the Duffy Lake Road. And it's halfway in between. So I'm going to branch off a bit. And I'm going to talk about a little bit of international Indigenous organizing. So back in 2002, I had a friend. I was friends with her since I was 19. So back in, I'd say about 97, of a friend. And she's Filipina. And we always hung out. She's like down, you know, she hangs out with natives lots and does a lot of ceremonies. And really cool person, organizer. In 2002, she told me about an international Indigenous gathering that was going on in the Philippines. We went there, and it was really cool, and she's tribal Filipino herself. While we were there, we found out that it was her people that were organizing the event, and that they have a long history of resistance, that they're extremely powerful, extremely, you know, like, just a really impressive Indigenous movement out there. When we were out there in 2002, they told us that they're the only people in the world to stop a world, I don't know if it's a World Bank or IMF project, but they stopped a massive dam development project in their region, and they stopped that, you know, and anyone managing to stop a World Bank or IMF development project is amazing. So we went out there, and they had this international Indigenous youth gathering. It was so amazing. There was Indigenous organizers that were there to talk about the impacts of globalization on, you know, tribal youth. It was really cool. Like, most of the people that were there were from other parts of Asia, and, you know, I had no idea there was so much tribal people in Asia. It was so moving. It was so cool. And I stayed there a long time, man. I stayed there 8 months. I couldn't leave. And I came back here, and I learned so much through the organizing out there. Like, just really being somewhere different, somewhere where I can see the similarities and the differences, somewhere where I can really begin to understand, like, what's going on in the world on an international level. It really, you know, I came back here, I could just see, you know, like, it really clarified things for me. Because before that, I could just see, okay, I understand people are allies, Like, say, I could look in Vancouver and say, okay, I understand immigrants are allies, but how are they allies? And I'd realize, okay, now I know they're allies because they're displaced people. They're people who lost their land, they lost their livelihood, they moved into the cities to try to survive, or they moved out of, you know, out of their own homeland to try to survive out here in Vancouver. Poor people. It's horrible out here. And I can understanding what's going on in international level. It's just really cool. Things I kind of knew but couldn't articulate, like, it just really clarified things for me. Anyway, the organizers of, it was CPA, Cordillera People's Alliance, that organized the first IIYC, International Indigenous Youth Conference. And this is, like, by Indigenous youth, for youth, you know, these are our issues. This is how globalization impacts us. This is how we're united together. They asked us to host the second one, and it took us 3 years to put that together, but we had it here in Vancouver in 2005. So we had people from all over the world. Of course, you know, because we're here in Canada, mainly from Canada and U.S., but from all over the world. It was pretty cool. And then we hung out here. We had it right at the Friendship Center. Everyone saw the downtown east side. They saw, okay, things are rough here. You know, we understand that, you know, you're not getting everything handed to you in a silver platter. Then we took them up to Shitika, and people were like, whoa. It's completely blown away. Completely thankful to be here. And I was thankful that people respected the movement here, because I know if you're in, say, somewhere like Mexico or Philippines, they, your struggle is, you know, your life, their situation you're in is brutal, and your struggle is powerful. And if people coming from that environment have respect for the struggle here, like, that's like 100 thank yous. Like, that's so, I was, like, really happy about that. So that was pretty cool. Another area where there's a ski resort, there's opposition to a ski resort, is my own territory. That's the Nsulgamf territory. And it's also an area, like, I'm from Merritt, BC, and Merritt historically is Nsulgamf and Okanagan. Like, we're pretty tight. Like, you know, the Nsulgamf and Okanagan really get along good. And actually, we get along really good with the Tsleil-Waututh too, like, traditionally. So this area, the ski resort proposal, is on Nsulgamf and pretty much also Okanagan territory. And that's right near the toll booths along the Coquihalla Highway. So they initially called it the Juliet Ski Resort proposal. They wanted to build a Juliet Ski Resort. But I guess what happened was, in the area they wanted to develop, there's, I don't know what kind of animal, there's an animal that's, like, almost endangered. So they had to move to a different area. In the same area, they wanted to develop in the same kind of place, but in a different area. And they changed the name. They want this ski resort to be called the Coquihalla Pass Resort. There's a lot of opposition to that. Where I'm from, the people that are organizing are mainly organizing through the band council system, which I myself am totally not down with. But there's a strong resistance to this ski resort proposal, and it's really impressive. And I think for about 2 or 3 weeks, they set up a camp by the highway. People could just drop by. People were dropping by and showing their support, learning about the struggles, looking, you know, even just looking at the land. And the land there is so beautiful. Like, I went up there last summer and a couple summers before that, and it was so, so beautiful. Like, that area for us is, like, major huckleberry picking grounds. And huckleberries are, like, the ultimate for my territory. People are nuts over huckleberries. There's a lot of animals. Like, the land is really, like, if you got salmon on your land and you got grizzlies and wolves, then your land is clean. You're lucky. If you have, like, the smallest, the bottom of the food chain to the highest of the food chain living on your land, then that land is healthy. And the water is so clean. It's so, oh, you know, like Merritt, you know, where I'm from, that's one of the few places in the world where I'll drink the tap water. I won't use a Brita. You know, there's not too many places in the world where I'll do that, you know. And I know, and I'm so thankful that I got clean water and land. Because a lot of places, most places don't have that, and that's sad. Anyway, it's so beautiful up there, and there's a really positive opposition against the ski resort proposal. I was living in Merritt for a while, and they're doing a lot of fundraising, a lot of pancake breakfasts, a lot of outreach, a lot of updates on what's going on. And since the winter now, I haven't really, like, there was one talk that took place here in Vancouver, I don't know, about 2 months ago, 3 months, I'm not even sure when, but that was kind of the last thing I really heard about the ski resort proposal there. Maybe things have slowed down because it's winter. But yeah, I'm pretty sure next summer everyone's going to go berry picking. So anyway, that's pretty cool to see my own people doing something, resisting something, and is there resisting something that's impact that like there's a lot of other support and a lot of campaigns out there already. They're pretty happy to, like, they got support from some Tsleil-Waututh people who visited them, and that was really good because it's just good to know that you're not alone, that your struggle isn't the only one that's going on, and that there's a lot of people in the same boat that are also opposing development on their land. Like, it's just good to know that.